Good morning, everyone. I hope you all had a great weekend. Had some great messages over the weekend yesterday from Pastor Silcott. And if you can get a chance to tune in, they'll be up on the website tomorrow sometime. And also, they're available right now on Facebook. And found out about some beautiful artwork. As you'll see this opening scene that it comes from a webpage called BibleGraphics.com, and it's a someone that Pastor Silcott knows that put this together, and they built this art to try to relay God's message through art. And this particular one is a whole, I'll put the link in the description box, but it's BibleGraphics.com. It's a place called Baptist Bible Graphics. And it's got some beautiful artwork in there, trying to depicting different stories from the Bible. So this is from the John, and what we're going to be looking at tonight, Jesus' arrest. And what he tries to do is try to symbolize some of the things we read in the gospel in picture format. You kind of see here Jesus there. If you look in his hand, you'll actually see a little ear, and you'll see this gentleman right here in the front, right? He had his ear cut off. Jesus is probably, is going to be healing it. And I guess that would be Peter with the sword. We just cut it off. And you can kind of see that Jesus comments that, he could have called down many thousands of angels to save him if he needed to. You kind of see them in the trees in the background. At least that's what I think it is. Of course, the Roman soldiers and the fact that they're taking them away handcuffed. And his other followers behind him, kind of concerned and worried. So kind of neat how they did that. So again, this is Jesus' arrest, and kind of break this portion down kind of into a different sections. And I'm going to start with the arrest in Gethsemane and the first set of trials in front of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. So the first part of John 18, I'm kind of breaking it up a little bit. I'm going to kind of do over a couple of different parts. I'm going to start with the arrest and the Jewish trial. And then I'm going to move to Peter's issues and his denials and the Gentile trials in front of Pilate. And this will kind of go between chapters 18 and 19. So we'll start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. We get to look at your word and experience what you have for us today. It'll help us in our journey. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. So what I did is I'm going to looking at, because pretty much from now on, right through the crucifixion, almost all of it, is in all four Gospels. And so I'm going to kind of do it piecemeal and show you from John, but also the references in the other Gospels. So you get a round picture of the different aspects people were reporting in the different Gospels. So here in John 18:1, and then we'll look at, we're dealing with the arrest portion right now. So this would be 18, and then Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the words in there. So when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into that which he entered and his disciples. We see the same thing in Matthew 26:46. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spoke, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into this place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I could not pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? You saw that in the background of that picture, in the kind of like in the trees. But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled, thus that it must be? In that same hour, said Jesus in the multitudes, Are you come out against as a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And over in Mark, we got a similar story. Each one has a little bit different twist on it, which is kind of neat. That's why I'm doing it this way. And immediately while he yet spake, came Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whosoever I shall kiss, that same is he, take him and lead him away. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straight away to him and said, Master, Master, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. One of them that stood by and drew a sword smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And last but not least was Luke, a little bit shorter version. And while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Which when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye this far. And he touched his ear and healed him. So back to John, and we'll continue with this. So 18:2, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. And Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, come hither in lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Who seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, that's a fascinating verse right there. I couldn't find a lot to substantiate it, but I bet you there's something behind that particular verse. Let's double check again. I forgot to look up, see if there was anything noted in my Bible on that verse. Notice Psalms 21:12. I'm just going to see what it says real quick. That makes sense. Because this one does have a little, kind of make a little sense. Psalm 27:12, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are rising up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. So this might be a slight indication of the power that Jesus had, and it kind of swept over the, what John's saying here is it swept them over, and they went and fell to the ground. Interesting verse. I have to dig a little deeper into that verse. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That they saying might be fulfilled, which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. And Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now we're going to get into the area where the first set of trials, and this is the area that at first they went to Annas, as we saw in that verse. Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. So I think that Annas was a high priest at one point, but now it's his son. Now it's Caiaphas. I seem to remember that he was appointed by the Romans. So he was kind of like, even though he was a Pharisee, he was kind of like an inside man, per se. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Let me jump up to verse 19. Then the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus answered them, I spake openly to the world. I even taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me, as them which heard me? What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? In other words, he thinks that he was being disrespectful to the high priest. And I couldn't help but think about this verse, you know. We're talking about Jesus, who's the Son of God. And he just struck him. You want to talk about, wonder how that's going to come down when the time comes to be standing in front of God. And I know I've done a lot of things, a lot of bad things too, so I'm not necessarily looking forward to it then either. But Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? In other words, if you think I'm lying, okay, but I'm not lying. I guess that's what I get out of that. Now, Annas has sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. So now we're going to jump to Caiaphas. And this is what they call the one reference I said was the informal trial of Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. So basically, they brought together. I remember listening to another commentary that this particular, what they're doing here is illegal. That they weren't supposed to call a council together to pass judgment on someone in the middle of the night like this. And that and it was done inside of his home. And so there's all a bunch of rules that they're breaking right now. So in Matthew 26, in verse 57, we see this trial. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, or maybe it's Caiaphas, I should say, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him. No, actually, I'm going to skip over Peter's portion and get to it tomorrow. That's why I'm jumping around a little bit. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, they, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. Well, of course, that reference was about Jesus himself, not necessarily the temple. Talking about the temple of God, in other words, Jesus. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure ye, be by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. I like Jesus' answer. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Kind of a little hint there of the end of the tribulation. I don't think necessarily they're going to see him, because they'll be dead by then, but it's something that people like him are going to see. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of a witness? Behold now, ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? I was there hitting him like from behind, is what I've heard before, and that they wanted him to kind of show a miracle. It wouldn't have worked anyways, but I guess mocking him more or less. And over in Mark, got a similar. The high priest, again, being the Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and elders and scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. That was whatever they were saying. They weren't agreeing with each other. Something important to remember is that rule I mentioned quite a while ago, that amongst two or three is something proclaimed to be truth. That's why I kind of try to always show you verses from different people to confirm the whatever it happens to be we're talking about. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. Again, referencing the temple of his body, or him as a temple. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asking Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, which, by the way, that was illegal too, from what I understand. Under Jewish law, they could never tear their clothes. The high priest couldn't tear his own clothes. And saith, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, Prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. Now we have the Luke account. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Now I'm jumping to verse 63 in Luke. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, Prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things, blasphemous, spake they against him. Then we got the actual formal trial where they're actually going to pass judgment and move it to so now we're heading towards morning. It's getting close to the following morning, which would be crucifixion day. By the way, I might mention that I'm in the belief that this was basically Wednesday night, and at the crucifixion, it could even be Tuesday night, but I'm thinking Wednesday night, and the crucifixion happened on Thursday, because there's some proof that one rendition of the Hebrew, I mean the Greek, indicates that that even though the Sabbath is on Saturday, that there's other high days that are also called Sabbaths, or where you can't do any work, and that one of the words I'll try to find it, this plural, and thus indicates that that the Friday crucifixion day, for a couple of reasons, doesn't make sense, because you can't get 3 days and three nights out of Friday to Sunday, but also that that year could have been a year where there was a additional high day, which is why Mary and them couldn't that he had to be crucified either on a Wednesday or a Thursday. So now moving into Thursday morning, I'm going to go with that theory. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. So that's the formal trial against the Sanhedrin. And I'm just going to reflect the same thing over in Luke. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, you will not believe. If I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, Art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, Ye say that I am. Kind of a rhetorical question there, because he's basically just putting it back on him and saying, Well, if you say so. And they said, What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. So that ends the first three trials. Again, it was as a review. They took him from the garden. It would be Wednesday night. Basically led him to Ananias's house. Oh, I might show you too that these are kind of show you. I always got, when I realized where they were at too, is my little map. And if you see, we left, we were in Garden of Gethsemane, which is 3. He comes back along the route and comes first to Ananias' house, which is 4. And then over to 6, I'm sorry, 5, is the Caiaphas in the Sanhedrin. So that's where we're at right now, 4 and 5. So I find it kind of interesting that when they were at the upper room, they were basically right next door. We also notice that 7 is Herod's house, palace, and then Pilate's place is over across the other side of the temple, which we'll go to tomorrow. And if we look at my little diagram, let me see if I can. Well, that's actually Herod's house that you see in the purple area. And the red area is the is where the high priest is, the Caiaphas. And so there's the upper room there. And so anyways, that's all I have for today. And again, we'll continue tomorrow. I'm going to look at Peter's 3 denials. Again, finishing up John 18. And we'll move into the Gentile trials, which will be there's 3 trials there too. The first one with Pilate, and then Herod, and then Pilate again. So we'll continue then, and that gets us, it starts moving us into chapter 19, if you want to look ahead. So a little word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, so much for this, for the time that we get to look into your word and get a study and a little bit of a timeline of the events of the latter part of the very important week to us all. I know a lot of people say it was a tragedy, Lord, but I'm so thankful that you are able to do that for us, and it just shows you how much you love us, and that you care so much for us. And I put so much solemn thank you and praise, and I can't do enough to say how much I love you for that. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, we'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.